to talk about. Second Sunday in Lent. Today, we're going to prepare to celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection by looking back to Abraham, Sarah, and, well, that's pretty much it. According to this week's reading, that's pretty much it. And the reading actually, I think, does the story of Abraham and Sarah a disservice. It omits some important stuff and only reveals part of the story. I think folks like to tell stories of the past that put the best face on situations. So today's reading, it's, you know, remember from Genesis, wraps things up in a pretty tidy package. But I think we do ourselves a disservice by avoiding the verses in the middle, as well as exploring the whole context of Abraham and Sarah's story. We're missing some pretty sordid details about our hero, Abraham. Twice, he gave his wife away as his sister to powerful men. In Genesis 12, 10 to 20, Abram, no name changed yet, told Pharaoh that Sarai, no name changed yet either, was his sister. Pharaoh took her as his wife and gave Abram lots of stuff. Then Pharaoh got sick and also found out that Sarai was Abram's wife. He gave her back. It really sounds awful today, and it was really awful then. And he let Abram keep all the stuff. Genesis 20, Abraham told King Abimelech that Sarah was his sister, and the king took her as his wife. This time there was no consummation, but in the end, Abraham had Sarah and a whole bunch of stuff from the king with him as he left town. Twice, Abraham treated Sarah despicably, but both Abraham and Sarah grew and matured and did better. We're also missing the circumcision verses, Genesis 17, 8 to 14. This is like right in the middle of the reading that we skipped. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, in the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Throughout your generations, every male among you shall be circumcised when he is 8 days old, including the slave born in your house and the one bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both the slave born in your house and the one bought with your money must be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. You can understand why we didn't read that today, but then again, I went and read it. But by ignoring those verses from today's reading, I think we miss out on a discussion of circumcision among other people in the area when Abraham lived and when the story was written. It seems we want to remove it from our thoughts because, well, we think the discussion will be too distracting from the message of God's promise that we want to explore. But it doesn't have to be too distracting. It's part of the story. And it's not a how to keep people out kind of story. Egyptian and Canaanite male children were circumcised, but for them it happened at puberty. Ishmael, Abraham's first son, was circumcised at puberty. Infant circumcision was something new, a sign that a person wasn't just someone to reproduce other people, but valuable no matter what. And circumcision later was very important to Israel in exile. They were cut off from their identity, but they also remembered the cutting of the covenant through something that wasn't visible on the outside. If ever someone takes a symbol or an action meant to be inclusive or empowering to a people who were excluded or powerless, they're doing it wrong. We have to remember the two rules. In this case here, it's been addressed in several places in the New Testament. Here's one, Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Let's talk more about what's missing from the story today. Some more things. We're missing the story of Abraham's children and how they link today's Christians with our Muslim and Jewish siblings. I think the overall narrative of the Bible, God creates, we mess up, God restores and reconciles, we mess up, shows a care and love of God for all creation. Telling the story of Ishmael, Isaac, and all of Abraham's other children helps, I think, Christian folk realize that we are part of a heritage that ties folks together and also one that continues in different God-serving religions. Abraham's first son, Ishmael, whose mother was Hagar, was sent away by Sarah after Isaac was born. Ishmael had 12 sons. They settled all over the lands between Egypt and Assyria. The lands are commonly called Arabia. Muhammad, prophet of Islam, considered himself to be a descendant of Ishmael, as do the people of Arabia today. In fact, both Jewish and Islamic traditions consider Ishmael as the ancestor of the Arab people. Muslim believers worship Allah. Allah is the Arabic word for God, and God's promise to Ishmael's father, Abraham, applies to all his descendants. I will establish my covenant between me and you and to your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Isaac, Abraham's son with Sarah, is considered the ancestor of the Hebrew people of Israel. And God's promise to Isaac's father, Abraham, applies to all of his descendants. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And then when Sarah died and Abraham remarried, he had 6 children with Keturah. Abraham's children with Keturah don't fit into any real religious or ethnic description, but some were considered enemies of Israel and would have been considered by the name Gentile because they were not of Israel. One of Abraham and Keturah's sons was Midian. The Midianites and the Hebrews became enemies and fought each other. Later, Moses, a shepherd, married Zipporah, a Midianite. Abraham and Sarah are lifted up as symbols of faith and patience. They were imperfect. Most would say deeply flawed, but they were and are important to the story of God's unconditional and continuing love for all of humanity. 3 historically linked religions, always fighting with each other, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. 3 biblically linked religions, still fighting with each other, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. We can and must have hope for greater respect in conversations with our siblings. Stay away from the toxic narrative spotted by any leaders who seek to demonize a religion because of the violent actions of extremists. Stay away from the toxic narrative spotted by any leaders that say calling God Allah, the Arabic word for God, is evil. Stay away from beginning or spreading or simply letting pass without calling it out a toxic narrative that shames another person or communicates in any way that some lives are worth less than other lives. And keep your eyes open to stories of solidarity and opportunities to cooperate as people of faith, as people of peace, as people of love, as human beings. After all, the Bible and its overall theme and then the stories of God's people remind us that we are all part of God's covenant, one that is everlasting. Amen.